Exasperation means inconsideration. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Exasperation means inconsideration. We've just had three or four illustrations at the table this morning of exasperation and inconsideration, and we learned a lesson, maybe, and maybe we didn't. But the thing is, when people try to communicate with each other and other people feel they can interpret how that communication is supposed to be, it only leads to exasperation. It only leads to inconsideration. For instance, one person was going to call somebody and say that they needed some information for them. And they said, no, I won't call them. It'll give them an ego, you know. She didn't use those words, but that's what she meant. It'll give them an ego trip. It'll give them a feeling that they're very important. And what a lovely thing to be able to do to anybody, to make them feel important, even about the most mundane, unimportant, simple little things. But if you can make someone feel important in their day, my goodness, how wonderful that is. And a person who has a low ego to feel important is really some gift that you can give. But, of course, if you're having the same problem, then you are unable to communicate in that way. Now, why do we do things like that? Why do we do things? Now, this is a silly exasperation, but we dip our coffee spoon, our spoon, in our coffee and stir it, and then we put the spoon on our saucer. Now, why do we put the spoon on our saucer? Sylvia, why do we put the spoon on our saucer?
Because it has spots of coffee on it.
And it would drip on
it
the...
It would drip on...
Whatever you put it on, if you didn't put it on the saucer. Right. Now, is that something, a nice thing to do?
Yes.
Well, what about when you use the wrong end of the spoon to dip out something, and then you lay the dirty end of the wrong end of the spoon on your placemat and put all that dirty stuff on there? Yeah, if you had licked it off, it would have been a lot better. But the thing is, that's just as bad, you know? Just because you use the wrong end of the spoon doesn't mean that the spoon is put on your saucer to keep spots from going onto the thing. And if you're going to use the wrong end of the spoon to do whatever you're going to do, I don't know, what did you do? You stirred something.
No, I took the cinnamon out.
Oh, you took cinnamon out with it. And so you got cinnamon all over your placemat. And you look at your placemat now and you say, I don't see any. Well, you just lucked out, that's all. But the thing is, that's exasperation. That's exasperation. That's exasperation. That's an inconsideration. Now, we don't need to let exasperation rule our life, although it is always touching us from time to time when we care. Now, if the person would have cared about the other person and known that they were at a point where a little extra ego would do them good because they're facing some pretty exciting adventures, and ego on their side would perk them up to be even better a recipient of the gifts that they're getting, that's something to think about. But why is it that we don't want to build up somebody's ego? Because we think we need to build up our own. And of course we do. We need to build up our own ego. But how do we need to build up our own ego? By being wonderful. By being wonderful. I have our statement here, I am vital, dynamic, alive. And as I walked the path this morning, I was saying I'm vital, dynamic, and alive. And every time I said I'm vital, dynamic, and alive, I straightened up more and I lifted up my chin and I just felt good. I'm vital, dynamic, and alive. Up, I'm vital, dynamic, and alive. Up, I'm vital, dynamic, and alive. Up, I'm, and you know, if you keep doing that, pretty soon it'll be a good habit. And you'll walk around with your chest out and your chin up and look like you're a person who is confident and wonderful. You look like a Marine. And that's not all bad. But the thing is, I'm vital, dynamic, alive is wonderful. I'm vital, dynamic, alive is wonderful. I'm vital, dynamic, alive is wonderful. Now, Ellen told us that she called a person to see if they wanted some things that we were going to give away. Well, now, instead of telling us that she talked to the person and the person said, "Wow, hey, that's great. I think that's wonderful. Let me check with the board and see if we have a need for it." You know, that would have been super. But no, Ellen said that she called this person to get the telephone number, who gave that person to get the telephone number, who gave another person to get the telephone number, and he finally got the telephone number, and then she called the person, and when the person got the thing, the person said, "Oh, I'll have to check with my, I'll have to see if we can use it. I have to check and see." You see, the whole message was lost. The whole message was lost. If Ellen would have just said, "I got a hold of Randy, and I told him that he can have the computers if he wants," and he said, "Wow, that's great, that's fantastic. I'll be checking with the board and let you know what we can do," you know. But no, she had to tell us that she checked with the board first, or that she had to see if it'll work, and had to see if it would be due, before he said, yeah, that's very nice of you. It's very nice of you, and all that sort of stuff is what should have come first. You follow me? What should have come first is the message. Ingeborg, did somebody call? And Ingeborg says, "Yes." And I say, "Well, they called, and I wrote it down, and I put it on the note to send to you." "Well, what did they say?" "I wrote it on the note, you know." And I say, "Boy, are you exasperating, you know. Are you exasperating? And are you inconsiderate? I don't want to wait till I get to the note. I want to know." So, for instance, my son might call, and one of you might take the call. "Oh, your son called. Thank you very much." Yeah. Did he say anything? Was he on the phone? Did he say, "This is Mark"? Did he say anything at all? And no answer. "But you talked to him. You answered the phone. He said, 'This is Mark.'" And then you said, "Yes." And then you said, Mark said, "Tell my dad I want to talk to him," or "Tell my dad I called," or "Tell something." Didn't he say something like that? Tell me. Don't make me pull it out of you like hen's teeth. That's exasperating. So if you answer the phone, immediately, if there's other people around, say, "Oh, hi, Greg, how you doing? Oh, hi, Mark, how you doing?" And make sure that we know which Mark it is, because we have a lot of Marks in our world. "Hi, Mark, son of Herb, you don't..." Oh, that I never say about him, that's for sure. But, you see, that's exasperating when you are half-baked, as the saying might go, you're half-assed, you know. You don't do your job the way you have accepted to do it. When you agree to answer a telephone here, you must say, "God Unlimited, University of Healing, may I help you?" And they say, "Yes, I'm dying." And you say, "Wonderful. What would you like us to do about that?" And they say, "Wonderful? Yes. Are you dying of a drink of water? Or are you dying of your life? Or what are you dying of? You know, tell me." And they say, "Well, I've got an illness, and the doctor told me I'm going to die." Do you want to believe the doctor? Or do you want to put a new cause in motion for yourself? Do you want to look at yourself like a practitioner looks at yourself and see yourself home? Oh, yes. You see, it's so simple just to take them down to basics and give them the basics and then go on from there. But if you let them tell you, "Well, what's the problem?" Don't ask the problem. You don't need to know the problem. You only need to know the solution, that all is in perfect order right now. And if you let them talk about the problem, then you are in trouble. I let a woman talk about the problem yesterday, and in talking about the problem, all she did was feel worse and worse and worse. I said, "Now stop it." I said, "Be a practitioner. Say nothing. Just say all is in harmony. thinking nothing. Now, I walked the path this morning and I said, I am vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. And then I thought, I am vital, I live in my ideal, vital, dynamic, alive body now. I have a nice, firm skin. I have nice, strong muscles. I have a nice, attractive tummy, you know, and I have this and that. And I thought, boy, oh boy, are you sick? Are you sick? You're given the laundry list of things you ain't, and then you think you're going to be. It isn't going to work that way. So you just say, your divine self knows who you really are, who's hiding under all that blubber. You know, your divine self knows. So you just say, I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, period. Not a bunch of adjectives and adverbs that define what it is that you want to do. Because if you do that, then that's what you're doing. Now, as I said, I walked along the path. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. My chest went out, my chin went up, and I felt wonderful. And I was just floating along the path. I said, my goodness, I wonder how much weight I've lost. Shut up. You know? Shut up. That doesn't make any difference. You can be the heaviest guy in the world, and you can be vital, dynamic, and alive. You can float. It doesn't make any difference at all. You know? And sure, those may be the facts, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you have this positive attitude about yourself. It's so exasperating and irritating when people do these things. It's so exasperating when people, what they do by exasperation means inconsideration. And so, why is it an inconsideration? Because they have not used their intelligence before they acted. What you did that was wrong, and what I do that's wrong when I do that, I stopped to think. And the moment I stopped to think, I was no longer in my first thought. I was no longer in the first thought which said, I am whole and perfect. I was now in the second thought, well, my knee hurts, my head hurts, and oh, goodness sakes, I got these hurts. You see what I mean? Your second, third thoughts, they go on into the laundry list. The laundry list of all your problems, of all your upsets. Don't do that. But how do you stay on your first thought? Practice, practice, practice. Now, I know that you don't practice that because I see the results. I know you don't even think about that because I see the results in you. And I only see the results in you because I'm here as a sharer with you. And I'm working with you on your seeing it for yourself. As far as I'm concerned, when I'm on break time, I only see you whole and perfect. I only see you just like I am, fantastic, vital, dynamic, and alive. I see you wonderful, 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 wonderful. Then when I'm off break, then I'm back at work again on being a sharer, and I let you play your game with me. And I say, is that what you want? Is that what you want to think about? Is that what you want to put in motion? You say, well, Herb, stay on break time. Well, hey, my break time is what I see and what I know to be the truth. And it doesn't help you one little bit. It doesn't help you one tiny little bit what I see, because it is only my world. Now, in your world, if you're going to see me as a beautiful, dynamic, forceful, fantastic being, just utterly amazing, that's great, because that's the truth. But that's great. Now, how can you see me that way if you're not that way? You know, you must be an amazing person too. Now, why don't you appreciate that? Anytime you look at anybody and you see them and say, wow, are they good? That's you. You look at a person and you say, wow, are they a stinker? That's you. Very much so, that's you. And if you say, wow, are they doing silly things? Are they inconsiderate in so many ways? Are they exasperating their world? Ha, 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 ha. That's you. That's you. You could not see it in another if it were not in you. And if you want to live in your absolute awareness self, which is super, just remember, you don't care about what anybody else appears to be doing because you don't see it. All you see is everybody being supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. All you do is see everybody wonderful and great and magnificent. And isn't that the way to really look at it? Do you want to be exasperating?
No.
Do you want to be inconsiderate?
No.
Well, you certainly are putting on a good practice over here. You are. Yesterday, the phone was ringing, and Sylvia was sitting here. She didn't even get up and go to answer it, you know. She just let it ring twice. I said, Sylvia, go get the phone. I was giving a lecture on the internet here, and Sylvia just sat here, and she didn't do a thing. I think the lecture was so fascinating, she just couldn't move. So after this, I'm unplugging the phone here, right here at the wall. And if you hear it ring and you feel like answering it, go ahead. I don't really care. If anyone can't wait the few minutes that I'm away from my phone, you know, because I'm giving a lecture, then that's just too bad. That's just too bad. And if you think answering the phone is more important than listening to what we have to say in our morning talk, then why should anyone around the world listen to it and be excited about it, huh? Mm-hmm. So I would think that all of you would have your, you'd be eating perhaps like this here, and I'm talking, and you couldn't even move your spoon. Your spoon just stand there and say, put your spoon down, you know. But, you know, you'd be so spellbound by all of the glorious, wonderful things that we're sharing that, you know, you don't even realize that you're holding your spoon midair and that you haven't, or you got your cup of tea up like this here. You don't say. Is that right? Oh, my goodness sakes. And you get your cup of tea held up in the air. You know how you do with something. Oh, tell me more. And what did your dad say? And what did your mother say? And they thought you were just wonderful. And they thought, wow, this is so great. This, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Tell me. And you don't even notice you're holding your cup of coffee or tea up in the air. I might as well take a drink out of it while I got it here. But you don't even notice that you got it holding it up in the air, you see?
Uh-huh.
That is dedication. That is discipline. That is intention. That is listening with all your heart. Like there's nothing more important than what we are sharing at that moment. You're not listening to me, and you're not listening to me because I am so fantastic, which is true, but you're listening to things that are so fantastic. You're listening to these wonderful ideas, and you think they're so wonderful, you cannot have one other thought in your mind. You don't even think of going potty, you know? You don't even think of it. When you're on the airplane, and you know that there's a long line back at the restrooms, and you can see it. And so you sit in your seat and you say, let's see now, I don't have to go right now. You tell yourself, I don't have to go right now. So your whole body adjusts to the fact you don't have to go right now. It's not that you're denying yourself going to the bathroom for hours and hours on end. You're just denying going to the bathroom while it's in the rush time. And so in an hour, the rush time is over and you go back there, or maybe 20 minutes or less, you know. It goes pretty quick because people just seem to have a time to go and a time to do these things. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now. Never be anyone who is inconsiderate and exasperation gives another person exasperation. You know, never do that, because that's what you're doing to yourself. Ellen, the person who called and didn't want to give the ego trip a boost was being exasperating, because they felt that that should come to them. They should get the ego trip. They should get the boost. And you don't need it. If you all could see yourself with the eyes that I see you, you would say, wow, I am great. I am wonderful. And you know, you'd walk around, not with your head in the clouds. That would be true too. But you'd walk around in paradise. You'd walk around in bliss. You'd walk around in total satisfaction. You would never make a call to your son, daughter, uncles, cousins, sisters, brothers, whomever. You would never even think about them. You would just be in bliss in yourself, in bliss in yourself. See, that's what it's all about. It's in bliss in myself. In bliss in myself. And when you're in bliss in yourself, you're not thinking of anybody else. You could be sure. And if you are thinking about anybody else, you're not in bliss in yourself. Now, I'm not telling you it's good or bad not to think about other things. I'm only saying if you are in bliss, then you don't think about anybody else. You see, when I am in my normal state of consciousness and I look at you guys, you're my creation and you're my world. I don't need you. I don't want you. I don't care anything about you. You're beautiful. You're absolutely fulfilled in every way. Isn't that nice? Yeah. I mean, if I needed you or wanted you, then I wouldn't be in bliss and neither would you. But because I see you as your marvelous expression of me, of my divinity manifesting itself in you because you're my creation, wow, I'm in bliss. You see? And whenever I saw this wetback walking through our road this morning, and he came in through the open gate, and then he turned to walk toward Mexico, wearing a light shirt and dark trousers and so forth, and he had a very dark complexion, black hair. And I could see that from the top of the hill, way on the top of the hill, on the upper Om path, and he was on the lower road. And he came walking along, and I, you know, came walking along. He saw me, but he didn't pay attention. Then he came to the turn, he turned right, and I turned left to come down toward the road. And by the time I got down there, he had passed out of my vision. But Rex had barked him away and, you know, spoke about him. Rex saw him instantly as he came through the gate, and I was at the Om. And Rex says, "There's somebody coming in there." And I looked down and I said, "Rex, you got good eyes. You got very good eyes." And so somebody's coming in there. And I said, "Well, fellow, you are an international traveler. Have a lovely walk on your way to Mexico. I know what you're doing. You're going home for your daughter's birthday party, and you have a lovely gift in your pocket for her. And she's going to be so happy to see her daddy and see you popping along. She didn't think that she would see you because you were working, and there you'll be." And you see, now, isn't that lovely? Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that peace? Isn't that peace? Interesting, huh? Did the phone ring? Potty time, huh? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Just got done talking about that. Well, kids, another exasperation, if I let it be. Exasperation means inconsideration. Don't be a part of it. You're far more wonderful than that. I love you. I love you.
I love you.